Please be seated. You've had a good spiritual exercise. All right. I hope you had a good breakfast. I also had a good breakfast. That's a blessing. We didn't pray for food, but God has given us food. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessing of being here once again. We pray for the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, and to inspire us unto fruitfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 4 verse 17. And say to Archippus. Put your name there. Put your name there. As a person sitting by you, what is your name? And say to the person what we are coming to. Put the person's name there. And say to. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Ask your neighbor, which ministry have you received from the Lord? The ministry of reconciliation. Oh, you have forgotten? Yes. Tell the person, take heed that you fulfill this ministry. Yes. Yes. Anybody you see, you have to find out, hey, has this person been reconciled unto God? Or is he still an enemy of God? Because God is going to send all his enemies to hell. Include himself, the chief enemy. Yes. The ministry of reconciliation. Yes, that's the ministry we have received of the Lord. And I just read it to you. That's the ministry that we have received from the Lord. And when Jesus was with the disciples, he kept pointing to them that, listen, this is the ministry that you have. Do you see? I mean, one day in John chapter 4, Jesus was, he found a soul. A soul. Someone who was almost like an enemy to God. Far from God. We call it a Samaritan woman. Do you see? When Jesus saw her, he said, no, I have to reconcile this lady unto God. So Jesus spent time talking to her, speaking to her, you know. And in the end, the lady accepted him. But she asked him, are you the Christ? The lady had a form of godliness, you know. She was seeking for fulfillment, happiness. And she thought that she would find it in a man. Do you see? There are some women, they feel that, I mean, if I really I can get a beloved, I feel lonely. I feel lonely. If only I can get a guy, a man, someone who will say to me, baby, I miss you. Baby, I love you. Baby, I'm thinking about you. Yes. There are some ladies, all that they are looking for is words of affirmation. Somebody to say that you are beautiful. You are nice. Were you created or you were crafted? Yes. But so no man is saying all these words to you. And then you have this African mother who is always saying that your head is like coconut. The insults you have received from your mother. So the day you see a guy, say, wow, what a beautiful queen. Suddenly say, yes, this is what I need. So she ended up having 5 men. And she was on the 6th man. Yes. Jesus told her, go and call me your husband. He said, I don't have a husband. Then Jesus said, you have said the truth. Always be truthful. Always be truthful. The truth will always set you free. Imagine this woman have said, well, I have a man. I'm married. Just that I left my ring at home. You see, that would have ended everything. But she spoke the truth. Yeah, truth has power. Yes. If it doesn't have power, it will never set you free. Yes, that's why John 3:32 said that you shall, John 8:32 said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So truth has power. So be truthful about your life, about your everything. Do you understand? Oh, yeah. And the reason why truth has power is because Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Wow. Yes. So be truthful. That is why it's a weapon. The belt of truth. It must always be. It's like you may have all the other weapons. That this is the one that ties all the other, the shade of faith, everything. So always be truthful. Be truthful about yourself. Don't say you pray when you don't pray. Do you see? Yes. Don't lie to yourself. Always be truthful. All the time. So Jesus said that you have spoken the truth. Yes. So you've had 5 men already, and you're on the 6th one. Yes. And the woman said, what? How did you know? I perceive that thou art a prophet. Yes. And Jesus spoke to her. By the time Jesus was done, not only has she repented from her sins and giving her life to Christ, but she went to the city. She left her water point, went to the city, and went and said, come and see a man. Yes, come and see a man. I thought you guys are guys, but you people, real man, a real man. Yes. So for any lady, any guy who has spent time with you talking to me was trying to get into my pants. But this one was trying to get into my heart. And lead me to God. Reconciling. It's not this the Christ. It's not this the anointed. Yeah, you see, so there are some guys when they meet you, that they are trying to go somewhere there. Oh, you don't understand my message. The reason for the caring, the reason for the text messages, the reason is actually directed towards a particular place. Yes. Yes. But rare men want to get into your heart. Yes. Amen. So the lady went and brought everybody in the city. They came and sat under the feet of Jesus. Do you get it? Yes. That was an ambassador. She went and reconciled all the men in the city. Those who were having sex with her, those who are broken her heart, all of them drunk. I knew all of them. Brought all of them to Jesus. And they all became born again. And they said that, Charlie, it's not what we heard from this, but we have been here ourselves. And what we have heard, come on. And they said to Jesus, stay here for 2 more days. It was a 1-day convention. It ended up becoming a 3-day convention.
Wow.
Yes. But then, When the disciples came from town, because they were looking for food, Jesus was looking for a soul to reconcile unto God. They were seeking for food. So they come and say, hey, we have food for you. Jesus said, food? You are talking about food? What do you mean by food? I have food to eat, which you know not of. I have food to eat. They said, has any man given him food? He said, my meat, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's my food. That's my desire. That's my passion. To reconcile people unto God. And they were still wondering, what is he talking about? Then he said, he pointed to them, verse 35, look at it. He says, say not ye that 4 months and then come at the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Because their eyes are, everybody's eyes is looking for things. When your eyes is down, it means you are looking for something. You are seeking for food, you are seeking for shelter, you are seeking for money. Da, da, da. But I am telling you, you are a follower of me, lift up your eyes. When you lift up your eyes, you will see souls. You see souls, plenty souls everywhere on the street. You see them. Yes. They are ready. Souls are ready to be harvested. They arrived. I'm telling you. You'll be surprised that even the most hardened sinner you see on the street is ready to be born again. Only that no harvester has gone to say, hey, come to Jesus. They are wide or ready to harvest. And then in verse 30 says, he said, he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that reconciled these people unto God, you receive wages and you will gather fruit unto eternal life. Wow. Yes. You will bring souls, reconcile souls unto God. And not only would you reconcile, you, God will reward you. Are ambassadors not rewarded? Oh. Are they not given certain privileges? Yes. Diplomatic passport. They don't queue at the airport. They have special immunity. You can't arrest them. Police cannot stop their cars. You can't take their goods. You can't check their goods. So many privileges. Yes. Amen. Diplomats. You reap wages, rewards. So you have a ministry called the Ministry of Reconciliation. And there are so many people out there to reconcile them unto God. Amen.
Amen.
And as you reap them, bring them to Christ, there's reward for you. God rewards you with different types of rewards. Yes. Different types of rewards. Different types. Sometimes your reward is long life, good health, nice beloved, nice husband, wife, children. Yes, scholarship for your children. Yes, a good job with good salary, favor. Yes, it comes in different packages. Yes, as you serve God. I'm telling you, God gives you with a blessing called whatsoever is right, according to Matthew chapter 20, verse 4 and verse 7. Yes. He saw some people idling in the kingdom. He said, you to go into the vineyard and do something for God. Join the ministry of reconciliation. And I'll give you whatsoever is right. Yes, whatsoever is right, I'll give you. Yes, God listened to your life and said, what will be right for this person? Maybe a good job. He needs a good job. Let's give it to her. She's been married, doesn't have a child. Give it to her. She needs a scholarship. Give it to her. Her children need scholarship. Give it to her. Whatsoever is right. That's the blessing God gives. Wow. He gives us whatsoever is right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. So, tell Archippus. Tell Archippus. Timothy. Tell Archippus. That's your friend. That's your brother. That he should take heed to the ministry which he has received from the Lord. You shouldn't joke with it. You shouldn't play with it. You shouldn't trivialize it. You should take it. You should hold it well. Hold on tight. That he fulfills the ministry. The ministry must be fulfilled. The ministry of reconciliation must be fulfilled. Amen. Yes, it must be fulfilled. Now somebody said that, I don't even know what I'm called. How do I fulfill the ministry? By now you should know that you are called. By now you should know that you are called. Hey, all the scriptures I've read to you has not convinced you that you are called, that he saved to call you, and that there's nothing like salvation without a calling. Huh? Yes. Why would you save somebody if you don't have a plan for the person? If the person didn't mean anything to you, you want him to die and perish. But it's because you have a plan for the person. It's that this person cannot perish. I have a plan for his life. Yes.
One day,
a brother brought a picture of someone to his pastor and said, "Pastor, you see this guy, he's very sick, admitted at the hospital, intensive care. Please, I want you to pray for him so that he doesn't die. I beg you, please." So the pastor said, "Who is he to you?" He said, "Oh, is he your friend, brother, uncle, father, cousin?" He said, "None of the above." He said, "Who is he?" "So he's one of my clients." And the guy was into microfinance. Those small, they lend money to small K businessmen. Said, "This guy owes me a lot of money. He cannot die. He cannot die." Tell somebody, "You cannot die. You owe God so much. You owe God so much." Yeah, the investment God has made in you, his salvation, you cannot die now. That's why David said, "I would live and not die and declare the works of God." Yeah, there are works to declare. There are things to do for God. You owe God. Yes, you have to pay your debt by living to fulfill the reason for which God saved you. You cannot die now. Tell someone, "You're undiable now." Yes. How can you die when you are owing me so much money? And the guy said to the pastor, said that, "A body that I have shares in, it cannot die. God has shares in your life." Yes, he's paid so much price to get you to be here. Look at you here. Today is Thursday. Some of you have traveled from Belgium and other places to be here. You are not a small person. No. God has a serious interest in your life. Yes, and he's looking up to you to rise up to the occasion and fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. Yes, to fulfill. So tell Archippus, he should take heed to the ministry which he has received of the Lord, that he fulfills it. Amen. Yes. You are going to fulfill this ministry.
Amen.
Yes. You are going to fulfill this ministry. Amen. God is going to use you mightily.
Amen.
You are going to represent the Lord very well.
Amen.
You will be a good representative of God.
Amen.
You will be one of his finest ambassadors.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you will reconcile so many people unto God.
Amen.
Yes. You are a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. And that's why Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God."
Wow.
Yes. 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 You make peace. You reconcile people. Yes. That shows that you are a child of God. So real children of God, this is what they do.
Okay.
Yeah, real, these are the words of Jesus. You must pay attention to the words of Jesus. They are blessed are the peacemakers. First of all, if you're a peacemaker, you are into the ministry of reconciliation. You are blessed. Yes, you are blessed. There's a blessing for peacemakers, for ambassadors, for people who reconcile sinners and enemies of God to God and make peace. Then number two, you should also be called a child of God. Children of God. Yes. Isn't it exciting to know that when you reconcile people, you are a child of God? And if God is your father, really? I mean, let's be serious. Do you think that you will suffer lack? It's not possible. God is your daddy. Daddy God. Daddy God. You can't lack any good thing. Yes. So anybody here who thinks that you are now going to discover your ministry, I'm here to tell you that you already have a ministry. Yes. Just that you are not fulfilling it, but you are going to fulfill it. Yes. Yes. You are going to fulfill it. You are going to do your best. In whichever capacity, you are going to help. Amen.
Amen.
Because you see, the ambassadors, they don't work alone. They have drivers. They have cleaners. They have garden boys. They have secretaries. They have all kinds of people. But all of them, their work is to help the ambassador to play his role. Yes. So all of you in the church doing different things, helping your pastor, helping your leader. You know, it's like every activity is towards one direction. To reconcile men unto God. And that's a blessing. Amen. Now, to make full proof of your ministry, you must understand how God calls you and directs you into fruitfulness. Amen. You have to understand how God calls you and directs you into fruitfulness. How God guides you and directs you to be able to carry out this ambassadorial role. Amen.
Amen.
So there are certain divine events that happen in our lives for us to understand that God has really called us. So I want to take you through some of these events just to convince you that really God has called you into the ministry of reconciliation, and that God has given you a ministry, and that through divine events you'll be able to fulfill your ministry. Is it a good idea? Number one, the divine drawing. Yes. Drawing. All right. Yes. Number two, I'll just mention them and I'll talk about them as time goes on. Number two, the divine desires. The divine desires. Yes. Not just desire, divine desires that are from God. Number three, the divine convictions. Divine convictions. Number four, the divine love. Divine love. Number five, the divine mercy of God. Mercy of God. Number six, the divine separation. Separation. Number seven, the divine will of God. The divine will of God. Number eight, the divine calling. The divine calling. Number nine, the divine mission. The divine mission. Number 10, the divine purposes. Purposes. Number 11, the divine visions. The divine visions. Number 12, the divine impartation of gifts. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Number 13, the divine grace. Grace. Number 14, the divine office. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
God uses these divine events to lead us and to guide us into the fulfillment of our ministry. Amen.
Amen.
So now, let me talk about divine drawing. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in order to fulfill your ministry, okay, of reconciliation, you must follow the one you are drawn to. Follow the person you are drawn to. Follow the person you are drawn to. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now, if you are being drawn to God, you are having a supernatural experience. Okay? That's point number one under being drawn. If you are being drawn to God, you are having a supernatural experience. Now, listen. Before you found Christ, you were never drawn to God or church. You were drawn to other things. You see, I was drawn to football. Every Sunday, you find me at the sports stadium. Every Sunday. Sunday, you see me in church. You see me at the sports stadium. Are there some people like that in England? Sunday, they are at Man City Stadium. Etihad. Is it called Etihad? Yes. And Manchester Stadium is called what? Old Trafford. And Stamford Bridge. They say Emirates. The Emirates Stadium. That's for Arsenal. Tottenham Stadium is called what? You don't know. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. White Lane. Why change it? And then Liverpool is what? Anfield. You will never walk alone. Yes. Some people, they are drawn to the stadium every Sunday, every weekend. They will never go to church. Church, they are not drawn. Yes. Seasonal ticket, yes. So when I became born again, I started being drawn to God. So now, I will go to church. Because church was in the morning. Stadium is at 3 p.m. So I will go to church. I have my ticket in my pocket. As soon as we share the closing prayer, straight to the stadium. Yes, the stadium used to open at 10 a.m. So I'll get there 1 hour before the match will start. But there were some matches. Do you see? Like Arsenal and then let's say Chelsea. Or Liverpool against Manchester. The stadium opens at 7 a.m. Because the park will be full. So if you don't go early, you won't get a space. So during those times, I will not go to church. Yes. Serious. But as time went on, I realized that I was not being drawn to that thing anymore. I was rather being drawn to God and to church. You know, and then you see that after church, there are meetings. There are meetings, shepherds training, rehearsal, different things. And so I couldn't join any of these groups because I was drawn away from God too. But as time went on, I said, no. I don't like these stadium things. I'd rather stay in church after. And I started staying in church. And I started being trained. I started joining the choir. I started having rehearsals after church. Do you see? And then everything. You see, but that thing is supernatural. Yes. And that's what Jesus said. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent, draw him. Draw him. So being to God is a supernatural thing. It's not something natural. Especially when you're a young person. Because when you're a young person, there are a lot of worldly things that draw you. A lot of worldly things that will draw you. Yes. Too many. Yes. Too many things are drawing you. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, but they are of the world. And the word passeth, the word is passing quickly. It's like things are coming, more things are coming. Before there was no social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. But you said the word is passing. It's passing quickly. Something has come. Something new has come. Something new has come. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Yes. And what is the will of God? The ministry of reconciliation. Yes. When you are not abiding in the will of God, these things that I was mentioning, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, they will come and just push you away. Yes. Even though you say you're a Christian. If you like be there and be inactive and do nothing, the world will come and capture you like a kidnapper and take you away. Yes. So it's supernatural to be drawn. That's why you are here at the camp. It's supernatural. That there's a camp. Pay money. Travel. Come and be here and sit down. And you are happy to be here. It's supernatural. It's divine. That's why it's called. It's a divine drawing. It's God. Because in Philippians 2 verse 13. It says, it is God who worketh, do you see, in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's divine. It is God. Say, it is God. So you must recognize it, that God is at work in your life. That the willingness to come, to travel for a church program, to go for homecoming at your own expense. Even when you don't have money, you are sad. When you can't make it, you are sad. It is divine, divine, both to will and to do. Is very, very divine. Hallelujah. That's why you must see it as something God is using to push you into the fulfillment of his plans for your life. The ministry. That divine drawing. So when you are drawn to God, do you see? I mean, look. Some people, they find it funny that we even go to church. Yes. They find it like it's a waste of time. Yes. Yes. It's like it's most of us, we thought church was even boring. And we used to wonder, why did they go to church? Yes. We had a lecturer in the university, a physics lecturer. One day he came to the class. He said, I want to ask all of you questions. He said, do you drink? No, sir. We all shouted, no, sir. So do you go to clubbing? We said, no, sir. Because we knew that he didn't believe in God at all. He and his wife. His wife was a Russian and he studied in Russia. So do you people womanize? No, sir. He said, you people are boring. So he said, what do you do? We said, we go to church. I said, ah! Yes. You see, he's not being drawn to God. So it's like, he can't even imagine that we find pleasure in going to church and not doing all these stupid things. Yes. I know one lady. She will go and clap every Friday and Saturday. Yes, I know her. She was called Cynthia. Yes. Yes. Every Friday, every Saturday. One morning I had gone to pray. It was Saturday morning, around 3 a.m. I'd gone to pray. I prayed around 5 a.m. I was doing a prayer walk. And here comes a lady with her short skirt. She was coming from the nightclub. Cynthia. So, as I was praying, she came out of the taxi and she was walking to the hall. I just felt in my spirit, stop her and talk to her. So I stopped her. She was a bit tipsy and drunk. And I wanted to talk to her, but because the way she was feeling, she was tipsy. I just asked her, what's your room number? I would like to visit you. She gave me her room number. So later in the day, I went to visit her. I decided to share the word of God with her. You know, she told me, said, look, I'm not attracted to church. He said, look at me. Me, I club. I don't want to hide. I go for clubbing every Friday, every Saturday. I come on Sunday morning. I'll be tired. I can't come to church. I said, no problem. Even when you come from the nightclub, come to church. He said, hey, will you people accept me? I said, oh, yes, why not? But you see, I've planted the word of God in her. Yes. Then I started seeing her in church on Sunday morning. Sometimes when I'm preaching, she'll be sleeping. And I said, Cynthia, wake up. After church, she said, I've disgraced her. I've made everybody to see that she was sleeping. She's not going to come to church again. Yes. I said, oh, I was just joking. He said, now everybody in church. See, I told you, I come from a nightclub, I'm tired. I said, you keep coming. Hey, but I realized Cynthia was no more sleeping in church. Then one day I found out she had stopped going to the nightclub. Yes. Today, Cynthia is a lady pastor. Married to a reverend minister. Yes. Yes. Divine drawing. Yes. Yes. Jesus said, no man, it doesn't matter who you are, you can never come to me except the Father draws you. And that's you. You were drawn by the Father. Yes. The life you used to live, some of your friends are still in that life. They can't easily come out. Unless they are drawn by the Father. So how come you were drawn, but they are still there? They have not been drawn. It should tell you that God really has a special reason. Oh. Yeah. That's why you shouldn't break the heart of God. Yes. So respect the divine drawing. You see, by the Father. Amen. Amen. Yes. So if you are being drawn to God, you are having a supernatural experience. Number two, if you are drawn to a man, you are also having a spiritual experience. Yes. If you are drawn to a man, when you are drawn to someone, you find yourself gravitating towards a person. Is it not true? Yes. That's why we say girls like boys more than boys like girls. Yes. When a sister likes a brother, brothers, sometimes you don't need to go and propose for you to be bounced. You have to wait to see the divine drawing. Yes. Yes. Person likes you. You see that all the time he wants to, anywhere you are, he wants to be there. Yeah, and it's also vice versa. When a sister, a brother likes you, always want to talk to you. Always want to be where you are. Yes. Sometimes, even apart from the fact that you want to come to church, what is also inspiring is that when you come, you see your friend. You see the girl you have been dreaming about. You see the brother that you are dreaming about. Is it true or it is not true? And the day you come to church, the person is not there. You say, your moods are affected. And then people will ask you, today you look a bit dull. Are you okay? Say, I'm okay, but I'll be fine. You can't tell them that you didn't see your friend in church today. Yes. There's some motivation somewhere. Because you are drawn towards the person. Yes. And before you realize that, that person has become your wife. Yeah, that's what happened to me. I was drawn. I realized that when I see this girl, I'm happy. I'm happy to see her. Yes. But the first time I met my wife, she was serving first timers. Yeah, she was serving them with drink. New converts and first timers. And I used to be happy to see her serving. Do you understand my message? And then she also told me that she used to see me bringing people to church. And said, I had some nice suit I used to wear. And it's like she really liked the suit. It was divine drawing. Divine drawing. Yeah. Amen. Divine. So respect it. Respect it. Respect it. Respect it. It's important. Respect it. And you say you have been drawn. I mean, look. I was the first time I heard a prophet preaching. In fact, it was a cassette given by my pastor, and I went to listen to it. I remember the message so well. It was called Should His Grace Be in Vain? When I listened, I was drawn to him. I had never met him. I was drawn to him. Then later, I was told that, there's this program on television. Miracle Days are here. He preaches. I will go and sit and watch. I didn't have television in my room or whatever. I would go to someone who has television at a particular time to watch him. It was divine drawing. Yes, divine drawing. And I liked him. I like his style of preaching. I was used to a church where the pastor stands behind a pulpit for 45 minutes. He doesn't even move. But here I was with a pastor. Hey, he would preach, move around. Then he would go and sit on a speaker. Then he would cross his leg. And I said, wow, this is a pastor with a swag. I just liked it. It was so nice to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Then he would crack a joke and everybody is laughing. I'll be laughing. I said, wow. But see, there are some people too who were criticizing our pastor. That he doesn't stand at one place. That he jokes a lot in the preaching. That he goes and sits on this. He's drinking water. You see, they were not being drawn to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. They were not being drawn to him. That's what I'm saying. When you are drawn, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. Even Jesus, he was the one who quoted the scripture. He said that You are drawn to me because of who? The Father is supernatural. So anybody here who is not drawn to me, I can't blame you. God has not honored you to meet an important man of God like me. Yeah. It's like God has not honored you. That God who has become a man of God on earth, a pastor, he has not given you the privilege for you to come around and be in my ministry. Yes. Unfortunately. So he told the people that you are all here. It's supernatural. It's divine. But they didn't get it. The one day he preached a message and they were offended. They weren't happy with the message. It's like they felt insulted. Like some of you come to church, the pastor uses a window of a story that has to do with you. Your secret problem, you went to speak to him. Now he has shared it with the microphone. Even though he didn't mean him, but you have a feeling that everybody knows that he's talking about you. Once your name is not mentioned, don't worry. That's why Jesus said a certain man had two sons. He didn't mention your name. A certain man could mean anybody. But without your story, how would we have nice preaching messages? How would we have nice windows? That's how can we remember the stories of Jesus. Like in Luke chapter 15 verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of good that falleth unto me." How would you have known this, such a story? It was not a parable, it was a real story. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? How would we know? That a guy went and wasted all his living with prostitutes, harlots. How would we know? How would you know that even though the guy came back home and then had a good party and all that, but he still has lost everything to his brother? Yes. He lost everything because in verse 32, 15, the father said to the elder son, "Son, thou art always with me." I think verse 31. "Thou art always with me, for thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine, including the shoe I just gave to your brother." Your brother has lost everything. We are only celebrating him because he's found. He's not dead. There's hope for him again. We wouldn't know all these things, but it was a certain man, a story of somebody. So don't get angry and offended when your matter comes up in the preaching. Yeah, it's a blessing. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Jesus said, you are all here because it's divine. For you to be here, to be part of the church, my ministry, to listen to me is God. Then they became offended. Then Jesus repeated it again. Look at verse 65 of John. Jesus said, "Therefore, said I unto thee, no man can come unto me except it was given unto him of my Father." You see, he repeated it. Yes. And I kept repeating that you are here by divine selection. But unfortunately, the message didn't work out for them. They didn't believe that they were there divinely. So verse 66, the Bible says, "From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." They withdrew. They were offended. They withdrew. That's why people who leave churches don't become anything. Those who leave it. That's why there's a book to help us. Yes. Because there's something that always wants to withdraw you, which is not God. God has drawn you, but there's a spirit that wants to withdraw you. And once you are withdrawn, you will never fulfill God's plan for your life. Many of us, if we were not in this church, would never be pastors. I would never have been a pastor, let alone a bishop. Hey, from where? If I was not here, if I was in another church, I would never even be an usher, let alone a shepherd. Some churches, they don't even know the word shepherd. All that they hear is get more money, get more academic degrees. Yeah, prosperity. They make you become earthly minded. And you rather start grasping for things and looking for things. Money. Your eyes is always be looking. You will never hear a scripture where you just lift up your eyes and see the souls. You will never hear anything like that. And they went back and walked no more with him. Hey, Jesus just spoke to you that you are here because you have been drawn divinely. The message didn't work. Precious Jesus, have mercy on us. He just preached. No, after that, no, still. He kept hammering the same thing because he knew that there was something that was trying to take them away from him. But it still didn't work. That's how come sometimes people are in church. You preach about loyalty and disloyalty. Because you do, they will do exactly what you are preaching against. Yes. As if in their case, the message will not work. It will not be like that. It's deception. Yes, it's deception. Touch not my anointed. So me, I will touch. Nothing bad will happen to me. Yes. Then Jesus turned to the people who left, who had stayed, and asked them, would you also go? Hey, are you also going to leave the church? After all the messages I've preached and said, you are drawn here supernaturally. Huh? Peter said, no. No, at least we understand what you just preached. We don't have anywhere to go. Because you said that we have been drawn to you. God has divinely brought us here. If this is where he wants us to be, where do we go? And besides that, your words are very eternal, powerful. We enjoy your preaching. When you preach, we understand. We can relate. And those are the people we know. Peter, James, John, and all the other guys. Even including Judas, who became an orangu. Now, these other disciples who went no more with Jesus left. Do you know any of them? We don't even know their names. They became nothing. If they had stayed, they would have become something. The world would have known them after so many years. Do you understand? So don't miss your place. Yes. Follow the drawing. Don't get offended. And one day become angry with Bishop Steve. Say God forbid. Yes. 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 Even for your pastor to like you is divine. Yes. It's divine. Your pastor to like you, to love you, to bring you around, to allow you to serve him, to minister to him. It's also divine. And then for you to also like your pastor, it's also divine. Because you see that divine drawing has everything to do with even your marriage. Who you will marry, how your marriage will be, whether you'll be happy in marriage or not. It's all connected. Oh, yes. I was just, when we went on break, I was just telling some sisters that, look, if you're a woman, it's not easy to find a husband. Yes. A woman in your whole life, you may not have more than two people proposing to you that they want to marry you. Yes. I'm talking about they want to marry you. As for wanting to have sex with you, there are plenty guys. Yes. If If you wear a short skirt, go and stand on the road and do this. You have 50 men wanting to sleep with you today. That's not what we are talking about. There are people who say that I will marry you and I will take you home. And I will say, I love you. I will marry you and take you home. Try to remember the verses. See the words. You see, what I'm trying to say is that a woman, a lady, you may not easily have more than two opportunities. So those of you who have missed your first opportunity, a guy wanted to marry you, a Christian brother wanted to marry you, and he said no. You are left with almost one, just one opportunity. Yes. I'm telling you. Yes, you are left with just one last card. It's quite unusual that I will marry you. I will say I'll love you, I'll marry you, and I will take you home. It's not a small thing. Yes. Many men want to just sleep with you. That's all. No commitment. Marriage, what are you talking about? To take you home, what are you talking about? All right, are you going to sing the other part? No, sing the other part.
I've been thinking about it many months.
I've been praying, huh?
Lord, let your will be done. And I've been thinking very, very hard. Lord, help me choose the right person.
This is a brother who is praying for you.
And now I have made up my mind.
He has made up his mind
about who I'm going to propose to.
Among many girls, he has decided on you.
I'll see the lady tomorrow night. Hey. And this is what I'm gonna say. When I see her, I'll say,
that a guy said he loves you. He never told her he will marry you and take you home. tell the truth and shame the devil. He never told her he would marry you and that he was going to take you home. Yes, he didn't say that. And that's what I'm talking about. In your lifetime, there will be few men you will meet. There will be no more than two. There will not be more than two. You know, before I used to say four. But one day, prophet corrected me. He said that he has reduced from four to two. Look at this room. There are more ladies here than men. If you are not married, you are sharing one by one. You see that by the time we finish, there will be more ladies who are not married. Yes. If you are choosing one by one, you see that there will be hundreds of girls here who nobody would have chosen. Yes. And that's how you must see your calling. That's why when somebody chooses you, you must feel special. Yes. Do you understand? Because for a brother, you have many, so many choices. Sing the part. The guy was praying. He was praying on. Sing that part again. Sing this prayer.
I've been praying about it for many months.
Yes. I used to pray. Listen, I used to pray my final year in the university. I used to pray. Me and my roommate, he's a bishop in Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. We used to go and pray for 1 hour every night for marriage. Wow. 1 hour every night for marriage. There was a football park. We would be there, pray for 1 hour every evening. That's the only prayer topic. Lord, give us a wife who will help us in the ministry. Because we knew that we were going to do ministry. All that we wanted to do was ministry. And we wanted somebody who was compatible with the call of God on our lives. And I was praying for many months, the whole of my last year in the university. Yes. And I was a pastor of a church of about 600 people. And the ladies were almost about 400. And I had to choose one. Hey. It wasn't a small project. But I bypassed all the ladies in my church and went to another university to find my wife, who was also a member of our church. Yes. Because I was not drawn to all the plenty girls in my church. Was drawn to her, which is also divine. After I have prayed, I've been praying for this for so many months. My darling, pray for us.
I've been praying about this for many months. Lord, let your will be done. And I've been thinking very hard. God, please help me choose the right person. Oh, now I have made up my mind.
After prayer, you make up your mind.
About who I'm gonna propose to. I'll see the lady tomorrow night. And this is what I am going to say. When I see her, I'll say, I love you. I'll marry you and I'll take you home. And I will say, I want you. But please be very nice to me. When I see her, I'll marry you and I.
So when a brother chooses you, marries you, and takes you home, all that he's asking for, be nice to him. That's all. Let's be nice to him. Be nice. Yes, that's all. Brothers, if you are standing by a sister, just that all that we want is niceness. That's all. It's niceness. That's all we want from you. Just be nice to us. That's all. Now listen. Listen. Every brother must pray if you are not married. How many brothers are here? You are not married. Brothers who are not married. Wow. Plenty of you. Listen. Listen. Brothers, can I advise you? Are you interested in my advice? Oh, only three people responded. No, I will not tell you. I will not tell you. I'll go to Mozambique and tell my people there. Are you sure you want to know? Brothers, never propose to any sister when you have not prayed enough about it. Yes. Do not. The way life is and the way marriage is, you can't marry because the sister has Manchester and Arsenal. Do you know Manchester and Arsenal? Manchester is here. Arsenal is here. Hey! You are going to make a choice because he has a big Manchester and a big Arsenal. No, 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 no. You have to pray. Pray. Pray for many months. Yes. And when you pray and pray, you will have a divine drawing. Yes. And when that divine drawing is complete or at its peak, then you will now go and propose to her and tell you that I love you and I want to marry you and I will take you home. And all I'm asking is that, please, when I marry you, be nice to me. That's all. Just be nice to me. Yes. But if you don't pray, the devil will send you someone who will become a snare unto you. Yes. Yes. Especially when you have the call of God on your life. When you have the call of God on your life. Satan will send you a woman who become a snare. Yes. When Saul wanted to kill and destroy David, that was a strategy that he made. That was his strategy. He said, I will send him my daughter. My daughter, Micaiah. I will send my daughter to go and marry him so that he will become a snare. A snare. Yes. Yes. It's an act. It's a strategy for war. Expect the enemy to send you a woman who become a snare. They use it on Samson. Yes. Yes. Delilah. Yes. Amen. That's why you have to pray. Hallelujah. You have to be spiritual about it. Sisters, the same also applies to you. You may want to serve God. Satan sees your heart. Before I realize, he's sending some mulliganous brother. An uncircumcised Philistine. Yeah. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 21. He said, and Saul said, I will give him hair that she may be a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistine may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in one of the twain. Yes. So sometimes you think that, oh, you are getting a nice sister, but not that Satan has a plan, a mission. He's actually sending this girl to come and destroy your life and your ministry. Yes. And many people have destroyed their lives because of marriage. They chose the wrong person. They say yes to the wrong guy. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
That's why every serious pastor is concerned about your relationship. And some of you ladies, you don't understand. But Bishop, I'm in love. I'm in love. I can't stop thinking about him. I dream about him every day. I like his six packs. He said, I will give to him that she may become a snare unto him. So marriage is not something you just get up and go into. You pray. Pray into it. Yes, pray into it. Yes. And when you pray, you will see. God will eliminate all the ones that the devil is sending. Strategically, you eliminate them. You will weed them out of your life. And bring the one who is compatible with the mission and the plans that God has for you. Yes. Hallelujah. So you see that you will not be drawn towards some uncircumcised Philistine. You see, one day a sister came to me and said that she wanted me to pray for her because she feels that something is wrong with her life. I said, what is wrong with your life? He said, the past 5 years, anybody who has ever shown interest in me, wants to be with me, marry me, is a married man. Do you understand? It's like they want me to be their second wife. They want me to be their side chick. So I said to her, because spiritually you are not on fire. I asked her, have you seen flies dancing around fire? Or something that is hot. It's only when the food is cold that you see the flies dancing around it. Yes. So I said to her, you don't pray. You don't come for the all night. You only come to church on Sunday. Spiritually, you are cold. So don't be surprised. The house flies are the one coming around. And when you see a fly, it has gone to sit on somebody's wee-wee, somebody's toilet, somebody's dirty whatever, somebody's spit, somebody's vomit, and it's also coming to you. You will never have flies coming to dance around you. Yes. So I said that you don't need me to pray for you. If I'm going to pray for you, I'm just going to pray that God will strengthen you to be a woman of fire, on fire for Jesus. Hallelujah. So, being drawn to a man, to a man of God, is also divine. Hallelujah. And that is very important. Number three. It may be difficult to recognize when you are being drawn. Yes. It may be difficult. To recognize what you are drawn to is probably the most difficult spiritual experience of all. This is because when you are being drawn to God, you do not notice what is happening to you. You just keep finding yourself in the church, in fellowship, at a meeting, and with the brethren. Yes, you wouldn't notice, but it's like, before I realize, every camp you are there, church meetings you are there, when you come, you don't want to go home. You are happy to be with the brethren. That is the calling. That's the beginning of the calling. That's the beginning. You are around. Being around is a major sign that there is a calling. There is something that God wants to do in your life spiritually. Just being around. Hallelujah. Because, look, our church is quite unusual.
Oh, yes.
We come to church in the morning, we go home the next day.
Oh, yes.
And we love it. We like it. Oba will be here. We know what we want. We are here. Yes. But that thing is supernatural. Yes. It's very, very supernatural. Some people come to our church and it's like, we will not even finish the service. They just pack their bag and go home. But some of us too, when the pastor is ending the sermon, we say, we want more. We want more. Take your time. Number four, you'll be drawn to the men of God that the Father chooses. Yes, the Father chooses. Jesus said, no man can come to me. And who was Jesus? Jesus was a man of God. Yeah, he called himself a good pastor. He was a man of God. Drawn towards the men of God, God chooses for you. God didn't choose T.D. Jakes for me. Maybe he chose him for somebody. He didn't choose Kenneth Copeland for me. He chose Bishop Duckworth Mills for me. Yeah. Yes. You have to recognize that's the pastor God has given to you. Do you see? And he has given him a message for me. And through that message, I am molded to become who I am today.
Wow.
Yes. He could have given another man of God to me, but this is a man of God he gave to me. It's a blessing. And you have to recognize it. And you have to follow what God has given to you. He said, I will give you pastors after my own heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Yes. God is the one who gives us pastors. That's what he said. No man can come to me except he is drawn. So God chooses the pastor, the man of God. He draws you to the man of God he wants you to stay under. And that your future, your destiny, your calling, your ministry, do you see, is sharpened to what God has put in him. The messages. That's what I'm saying. If I was another child, I would never be a pastor, let alone be a bishop or even be a missionary. From where? What will make me become a missionary? Even the word missionary has never been said in some churches. They don't even know what the meaning of it. But I remember when our prophet came to our church and he preached, 1999, he preached a message. And the message was a missionary church. That was the title of the message. I had just been in church for about 6 months. Yes. When he finished preaching, I said to myself, this is what I want to do with my life. This is what I want to do with my life. That one day I want to go to a country and I'll go and live my life there. And I'll become the savior of that country, savior of men, save people.
Yeah.
It was 1999. And 6 years after, it has happened.
Wow.
Yes. 6 years after, I went to university. After 4 years, I finished. I worked 1 year with the prophet. My sister, I was in the university. I was on the mission field. But because of what I heard, Maybe if God had not given me Bishop Dark, another pastor would have come to preach about financial empowerment. Or something, a message that would have made my mind to work in a certain way. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that is also supernatural. That drawing, this is my man of God, this is my pastor. I like to listen to him. I can listen to him the whole night, the whole day, 72 hours. When I'm not listening to him, I feel sick. I'm always looking for what has he preached. What's the latest message? When I hear that he's traveled to Singapore, he's gone to Dallas, I want to know, what is he saying in Dallas? I want to hear, I want to know. Sometimes I will travel, I just want to be around him to hear things. Like what I'm telling you, that if it will make you happy, you can afford, and it's not a sin.
Enjoy it.
It's not in any book. But just by being with him, I've received wisdom. And many other things that you'll be blessed to hear when you are with your man of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. It's supernatural. Don't let anybody, you see, Satan is an enemy of every good thing. He's an opposer. The Bible says he's an opposer of that which is good. Anything good, Satan wants to oppose it. So you see, God has given you a man of God, drawn you to a man of God, giving you a pastor. Then you see Satan is trying to malign him, slander you, slander before you are not drawn. Yes. That's what Satan does. Accuser of the brethren. Because you see, if you are going to meet somebody and then as you got there, you see toilet all over his body and the person is coming to hug you, what would you do? You withdraw and go away. Yeah, that's what Satan does.
Wow.
Slandering, tear-bearing, accusation. That is what it does. That's the effect it has. Yes. It defiles the man of God God has given to you. And now when it comes to minister to you, you start analyzing what people have said. You start picturing and imagining what people have said. And you can't even listen to what he's saying. And you are completely cut off and you shut down. Before Nesta, you don't even want to come to church. It's an attack on you. Not an attack on the man of God. It's on you. That's why some people, look, me, I have a principle. I don't have to even know you. If you are my Facebook friend or whatever friend, the day I see you saying something against a church, just even a statement or cast an insinuation, you have something to speak against a pastor or a church or a man of God, that's when I block you. No, I block you. I don't unfriend you. I block you because I don't want to see your thing till Jesus comes. Yes. And I have many people I've blocked on my phone. Plenty. Some of them, a lot of them are even pastors. Oh, yes. You don't want to block anybody. Because you are not spiritual. Yes. Somebody is trying to corrupt you. Not to receive the man of God God has drawn you to. Oh, you don't understand my message? Is it easy to understand?
Yes.
I want to show you the number of people I blocked on my phone. And from time to time, I block more. All blocking. Ask your neighbor, do you block people on your phone? Yes. How many blocks do you see here?
32.
Serious. 32. Yes. You become my friend. I save your number. The day I see you make, if you like, make a small statement that is against church, the work of God, pastors or something, or you are even reposting somebody's whatever, I block you till Jesus come. I love God. I love the church. The church is Jesus' bride. And the church is full of sinners. Jesus died for sinners. Do you see? Yes. He didn't die for the righteous. And we know the church is not perfect. But it was perfect until you joined. When you joined the church stopped from being perfect. It was perfect until you joined as a fornicator, as a liar, as a drunkard, as a smoker. Is it not true? Yes. So why? You don't need to. Don't join the devil. The devil is called the accuser of the brethren. Of the brethren, not sinners. Brethren is Christians. Wow. You don't need anybody to be pointing his fingers against your weakness. We all know that we are trying. And give people some time, they will become better. It took me 6 months to break away from the yoke of alcoholism. Wow. Yes. People become better. They change. You say, I used to have 4 boyfriends that reduced to 3. It's improvement. Step by step. One day you find out it's 0, 0, 0. Yes. But you see some people, pastors have done this, pastors have done this, men of God, they that. Oh, please. I don't want to be my friend at all. That's what Satan was doing in heaven. Yes. That's what he was doing in heaven. And they said, no, we don't want you here. Leave us alone. And since he came, it's been worse. Do you see? Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, imagine Jesus was your pastor. Look at the thing. Do you know some of the things they say about Jesus? One day, Jesus had to defend himself in the church. He said, listen, I'm a good pastor. Some people are trying to portray me as a bad pastor. But I'm a good pastor. I'm a real good pastor. But look at what some people said about him. He said, I'm a good pastor in John chapter 10, verse 11. Then verse 20, look at what people said about him. He said, and many of them said, he has a devil. Your pastor is occultic. Number 2 is mad. Oh, this man is a foolish man. Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to him? Why do you listen to the man of God? Why do you listen to this man of God? Why hear him? There are some people, they are not drawn. This is what they speak. I mean, imagine Jesus, the Son of God. God who has become a man and is a pastor. Emmanuel. This is what people are saying about him. Yes? And there's no man of God that people will not have something bad to say about him. In fact, Jesus said, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. It's not a good sign that everybody says good things about you. A real man of God, you have divided opinions. Some will say you are good. Some will say you are bad. Some say you have a devil. Some say you have an anointing. Yes. Verse 27. Sorry. No. Come back. Come back. John chapter 10. Verse 21. Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? It's a question. Yes. Yes. People are trying to portray your pastor, a bad pastor. You have to ask yourself questions. Can a bad pastor, like yesterday I was talking to somebody, you know, and the person was saying that, you know, Bishop, you've given yourself to Mozambique for 20 years. Look at all of us. I was telling me how her life, thanking me. I said, but some people are a very bad person. He said, no, Bishop, you can never be. I said, that's how some people see me. That's the truth. Somebody else will look at you and say, you are this, you are that. But you should be able to know. Like Jesus asked a question, he said, hey, who do men say I am? Some say, oh, you are this, but what about you? You who are in the church, you are around, you've experienced me. Say, ah, you there, you are anointed man of God. You are the son of the living God. You are the Christ, the anointed one. And Jesus was very excited. Yes. That's why sometimes you have to send a message to your pastor to encourage him that, pastor, you are a very anointed man of God. Thank you for your life. Because sometimes pastors are discouraged. Yes. They are discouraged from the many people who betray them. People who are ungrateful. People who are loved and cared for. And all that they do is reward you with ingratitude and wickedness. Do you understand? Yes. But you don't become like that. That's why we preach about those who remember. Yes. Because we don't want to become those who forget. You have to remember the love, the care that you have received. That you didn't receive from any of your family members. Nobody loved you. Nobody cared for you the way you have been cared for by your pastor and by the church. You understand what I'm saying? If nothing at all, somebody obeyed God to start a church through which you are born again. Yes. And stable in life. Because by now, a lot of us have gone mad. We have been suffering from depression, from series of broken hearts and addictions. I'm telling you. Some of you, so many demons have been cast out of you. You need to be grateful. That is why Mary Magdalene was so grateful to Jesus. Yes. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 3, certain women came to honor Jesus. And you mentioned the woman, but particularly Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Look at it. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirit and infirmity. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went how many devils? Seven spirits. Seven devils. Charlie, even one devil in you is not this old. What one devil can do to your life. This one has seven. And God used his pastor, her pastor, to heal her. That's why Mary will come and say, Pastor Jesus, today is your 32nd birthday. I have a nice perfume. This perfume is the most perfume, the most expensive perfume in the whole of England. Yes. I want to honor you with it. Because she remembers. If I had not met this man of God, I don't know where I would have been. Seven devils. By now there have been 51 devils. Because devils are always inviting other devils. The most united group in the world is demons. Devils. Oh yes. They don't quarrel with each other. Have you seen devils that are fighting each other? That two devils are in somebody and say, you leave, I will stay. This is my house. You go. You came to meet me here. This is mine. No. At all. The madman of Gadara, when Jesus asked, he said, what is your name? He said, we are legion. We are legion. For we are many. A legion alone is 6,600. Yes. 6,000. 600. So it means that 6,000 demons were around. Legion means a regimented army. It was an army. It's like a group of soldiers regimented together. We are together. And when you see the army, they march together. They dress together. They do everything together. They don't quarrel. They don't fight among themselves. Rather, same mind, the same of everything. That's why when Jesus sent them out to the pigs, each pig carried how much? 2,000 pigs divided by 6,000. 6,600 divided by 2,000 pigs. So at least everybody had about three. Yes. They all killed themselves. Do you understand? Yes. So which means that actually the human soul is very wild. Yeah. Just 3 went to the pigs. No, everybody said, I'm going to die. I can't carry this. Straight away. They are united together forever. They never quarrel. They will stay in you nicely. So Mary Magdalene has 7 of them. And she remembered how God used his pastor, her pastor, to save her. So don't let people cast insinuations, slander your pastor, slander your man of God, accuse your man of God. It's an attack on your drawing to the man of God God has given to you. Wow. Yes. We had people going on social media to attack our pastor. And you see people say, hey, yeah, I've heard stories. Then you don't even know the truth. Yes. Believe in lies and say, hey, I've left the church. How does it help you? That's why when you see such, you block them, but you don't need to. It may affect you if you're not spiritually strong. Hallelujah. So, God draws you to the man of God whom he chooses for you. Number 5, you will be drawn to different people at different times. Yes. You'll be drawn to different people at different times. Throughout your ministry, God will place in you an inexplicable attraction to the people that are important to the fulfilling of your ministry. It is important to recognize the supernatural drawing of the Holy Spirit. Accept that the Holy Spirit is drawing you to certain people. Even John's disciples were drawn to Jesus ahead of him. Amen. Yes. So this is also true. When you take our prophet for example, you see that he talks about Kenneth Hagin. Then he talks about Rick Jonah. You see, and then he talks about Pastor Edepo. He talks about Benny Hinn. And now this day he talks about Derek Prince a lot. Yes, it's at a different time you are drawn. It's like you start listening to a particular man of God also. Not that God is asking you to leave Kenneth Hagin, but he's still, but it's like God wants to do something, maybe more, a gift, something. He introduces you to another person you are drawn to listen to in a certain way. But this is after God is taking you deeper at a particular point in time. You see that somebody else, God will say, follow this person also. So one day the Lord told him that, see this person as a father, not as a colleague. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you blessed?
Yes.
Follow the man of God. Follow the man of God whom God is drawing you to. Follow the one you are drawn to. Ask your neighbor, are you drawn to somebody? What a blessing. Sit down.